Now in chapter 9, we come here to another very important section, and we have here the league with the Gibeonites. Now they were south of Jerusalem, and we see the southern campaign. Now they were very clever, these Gibeonites, and I want you to notice that, and let me read here at this particular place. It came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, including the Electrolyte, by the way, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Now there was a group there, one group, they wanted to be smart. And their thought was not to fight, but make a compact. And therefore this war in the south now, you see, he's divided the land, and now he's moved south. And the Gibeonites, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and unto Ai, they said, well, we won't fight them. And they were next in line, by the way. They were around Jerusalem. And we read, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. And they took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. They went to Joshua under the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? They said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? Friends, come ye. And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. You see, they're a bunch of liars. They are working cleverly, you see. They live right there in the land, right around Jerusalem. And they act as if they've come from a far country. They say now they really want to worship the living and true God. And they mention the fact, they call attention, if it hasn't been noticed, while we took victuals for our journey, and we had on new clothes, and look at them now. Our bread now, we took hot for our provision out of our own houses on the way we came forth to go unto you. And now, behold, it's dry, it's moldy, and so on. Look at our clothes. Oh, boy, are they clever. And you know what happened? Joshua fell for it, and he made a compact with them. Now, a treaty was honored in that day, although made under these circumstances. Man's word was pretty important. You see, they were rather uncivilized in those days. But they pretended to come from the outside. Now, Joshua was told to make no treaty with the people in the land. And so they used this very clever ruse. And now, you remember, Jericho represents the world. How do you overcome the world? By faith. Ai represents the flesh. How do you overcome the flesh? By fighting it? No, you can't overcome by fighting it because you're not able to. You're to recognize your weakness and to go in confession and let the Spirit of God get the victory. It was God now said, I'm going to give you Ai. Now these Gibeonites, they represent the devil. And what are we told to do today? Back to Ephesians for Ephesians in the New Testament corresponds to Joshua in the Old Testament, you see. And I'm reading now Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the Gibeonites, they work wilily. They should beware of the wiles of the Gibeonites. But they didn't. And we're told today that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are spiritual now. against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is our enemy today. We do not have a flesh and blood enemy. We have a spiritual enemy, and that's Satan. And how many Christians even recognize him? And what does he do? I don't think he's interested in getting you on pot, my friends. I'm not sure that he's interested in wanting to make a drunkard out of you. I don't think that he works down in the bar rooms and in the sinful places of the world. I think he's ashamed of that crowd. They're his. He's a little ashamed of them. He went to church last Sunday, and he'll be there next Sunday, by the way. He wants to be religious. The devil does, provided you fall down and worship him. And there's a lot of that today. He works wildly. We need to be very careful. How many Christians are taken in? I am amazed at the stupidity of the saints. They're taken in by every ruse that's imaginable. And that which is standing for the word of God for some strange reason, they stand and question it all the time, and yet they're taken in on every hand. A man was telling me about certain programs he supported, the reason he couldn't support mine. Well, naturally, I'm a little selfish about this matter. I feel like I'd like to have people support the Word of God. But, you know, he mentioned a couple of rackets, religious rackets, and he supports them. But he can't support mine because he's supporting them. By the way, he didn't question mine, but he just said he was doing this. The only thing I did, I said, have you investigated these? Oh, he's heard them on the air. I would say that you need to do investigating. That's what I say to folk about our program, that we actually are trying to teach the Word of God. How important that is, friend. The devil, he can pull a wool over our eyes. And you remember, Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, aren't we a little ignorant of his devices? Well, let me turn over, if you don't mind, to a passage of Scripture over in James 4:7. Now, what are we to do? How can you overcome the devil, by the way? Listen to this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And that's James 4:7. My friend, we need to submit ourselves to God. That's the first thing. We need to get close to him today. Oh, how we need to get close to him today. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, but resist the devil. And the thing to do is to have nothing to do with that which you do not know anything about. There's a danger of being linked up with him today. Somebody says, how in the world do all of these survive, these different religious rackets, even in churches? How do they survive? They survive, my friends, because God's people are supporting them, and they're supporting them because they're not resisting the devil. Why, we go to church with him, I'm afraid, sometimes. This is very important to see.